Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. He's Big Joe Dew, and I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Real quick, I want to correct myself because I said I would check this. Bum Phillips is still the second winningest coach in Oilers franchise history because he has 55 wins. Mike Vrabel has 54.
And that's where he'll forever remain.
And 99 games coached.
Wow.
Bum Phillips had 90. Jeff Fisher, the all-time leader with 142. Let's say hello to another coach. The Vanderbilt Commodores head coach, Clark Lee, is on the line with us. Coach, how are you?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. We are, I don't know about you, I'm tired of hearing about practices, talking about practices. I'm ready for some games. We are almost there.
Yeah, we are. I think we're to that point where it's time to compete against somebody else. And we got this week, and we actually are pulling back just a little bit from what we've done in the past in terms of training camp stuff. We'll start class Wednesday. We'll get out there and get a couple of good days of work in. But on the whole, this week's going to be about getting us back healthy and fresh, and obviously setting our sights towards Charleston Southern and what then starts a kind of six consecutive games till we get to a bye week. So we got a lot of work ahead of us. Important for us to get fresh and feel rested up by the time we're putting the ball down.
I'm sure this comes with experience, you know, both just coaching in general and as a head coach. But like you said, like after a while, going up against your teammates and the same guys every day, it kind of gets tedious. It's necessary. It's part of the process, part of the work. But have you kind of, as you've developed as a head coach, learned when to pull back and go like, okay, maybe we'll spend a little more time just in the meeting room and watching film and a less time of doing the same thing over and over again? Or is it a, hey, you know what? We haven't gotten this right yet. We're going to keep doing it until we get it right.
Well, first of all, I'm like a special kind of psycho that I could do the same thing every day. So I don't actually grow tired of this kind of stuff. I realize that other people don't have quite the tolerance for that. And, you know, I think ultimately, really my focus has just been on kind of the collisions, you know, how many collisions we're having, the exposure that we have when we're competing against each other. What I ask the team to do is attack whatever I put in front of them, and they've done that. And we're bumped and bruised right now. Nothing that is too significant to where we won't be getting guys back this week and over the weekend. But that's the blend to me. You know, we've got, I think somewhere in the neighborhood of 45 senior or graduate players. So this is a mature team, and you know, trusting that is hard sometimes because in my mind, more and more is better. Better, you know. I mean, how many reps can we get? And you know, I just sometimes I get a little bit bogged down with that kind of thought process. This is where Jerry Kill's helped me a ton because he gives me permission at times to back off. And I think it's really important for us, again, considering the six-game stretch to open the season before we get to a bye week. I mean, that's going to take a toll. Training camp, summer takes a toll. You know, we have a mature team. Let's use that to our advantage, and let's take some time this week to get our guys feeling really good. And that way, when we show up in a couple weeks against Charleston Southern, the ball's put down on the field and we're ready to go, that, you know, we're able to play at our highest level and start the season off the way we want to start it off.
Talking to Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee on the Chase and Big Joe show. Coach, I got to know your reaction when somebody walks into your office and says, hey, did you hear what Diego just said?
Yeah. Well, you know, I wear this Aura ring, so it measures my heart rate, and I'm sure in those moments it's spiking. It'll tell me how many hours of stress I have each day. And typically when he did the Bustin' with the Boys podcast, I think I set a personal record for stress. you know, here's the truth. And this is, you know, I think, first of all, Diego, I mean, I just love Diego. He's a brother, son, you know, family member to me now. It's interesting. I mean, we're different, but in all the right ways, we're very similar. We're wired the same. We come from different places, different backgrounds, but have the, again, the same kind of maniacal pursuit of something. And, you know, his willingness to speak things into existence, to manifest things, the confidence he exudes that becomes infectious amongst his teammates, all that stuff makes him who he is. And my job isn't to change that. You know, I think also for him to realize he'll live the rest of his life through his football career. And then what I think is going to be an incredible coaching career. At least that's what I'm trying to convince him of when he's done playing. He'll have a microphone in front of him for the rest of his life, and he needs to. You know, I think the world needs Diego Pavia's voice, needs his confidence, needs his compassion, needs his humility in process, too, because there's a real curiosity there from him. But, you know, what are ways that he can always be true to himself but not turn around and then, you know, take swings at our opponents? You know, like that's the balance. Make the focus us, be as confident as you want to be. You know, I think those things are important. And when he says it, the team honors it. And now it's time for the team to have his back. And that's how we roll. But certainly, you know, we've had some fun days as a result of the media attention he gets. And yet I love every minute of it.
Oh, absolutely. Coach, I've been in the media now nearly 30 years. And one of the things I hate about me is hearing my voice, seeing myself on TV. Have you watched the SEC documentary on Netflix and seen yourself?
Well, it's funny that you bring that up because I made the decision to watch that as a team. So we watched our episodes, and honestly, when I say our episodes, just the parts where we were featured. So the runtime was somewhere south of an hour. It's like 48 minutes. We watched it early in camp, and I don't know how the right word to use, disgusted. I think, like, hearing myself for that long, being that featured was embarrassing to me. And I get it. Like, I'm the head coach. Like, that's my job. And I need to do that. I just, God, there's so many other people that deserve the shine, the spotlight, to have their voices heard. And yet that is what it is. I thought it important to watch as a team because I knew that there would be heroes made out of it. I mean, it is reality TV. So I wanted to make sure that if there were any negative ripples, that we had seen it the same way, that we had a chance to address them as a team. And from that, I think for both Diego and I, we both had a message for the team following the, you know, the showing, which was just, you know, this is about so much more than me. It's about all the quiet work and the shadows, all the people that contribute to this. And so to answer your question, I've watched it. I absolutely grew tired of hearing my voice. I'm glad to be beyond that and not have to consume it anymore.
I would tell you, I'm on a group chat with the guys I played college ball with. None of them live in Tennessee. And I'm telling you, Coach, they have a whole new respect for you because they didn't know that side of you, that personality, that fiery side, and they love it. And I'm not saying this because you're wrong with chasing me right now, but a lot of people talk very positively about your passion and your love for your kids and the program because this enabled them to see you a different side. So I, as much as we hate hearing ourselves, know a lot of people, though, did enjoy that and seeing that fiery side of Clark Lee.
It's interesting that I am who I am. And obviously, guys, I wouldn't be where I am without an intensity that burns hot. You know, I've got to share with my team every part of my personality. I'd never wanted to be a coach of a position group or a unit or certainly a team where they didn't know exactly what makes, you know, me tick, you know, what's pumping through my veins. And so, you know, it's a quick glimpse behind the curtain as to how we operate. I mean, look, for every fire and brimstone speech, there's probably 10 that are way more process driven and really just trying to be very direct about this is our path to victory. These are the things we have to do to win. What are the you know, simple things done well, but certainly, man, like they also need to know there's a passionate competitor here and a fighter. And that, you know, I think that's important. And so for the world to be able to see that, to better understand our program, better understand, you know, what it is we're after and how we're pursuing it, I think is good for Vanderbilt football.
We're talking to Clark Lee, Vanderbilt football coach. So I saw a video on social media. It looked like you had a new volunteer coach, Tim Corbin, out there helping out. How much has Corbs meant to you? And so I saw him throwing around with Diego. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, he's been an incredible mentor to me throughout my career. Because, you know, when I got here as a player, he was just getting here as the coach. And so, being a former baseball guy, I got around him. He would be every morning running on the treadmill in our weight room. So we struck up conversation and again, I grew a mentor. And so to have him nearby, like, I don't get to spend nearly as much time with him as I'd want, just because we're both so busy, but inevitably he'll come around the corner there and come hang out. And I usually have to force him to come out in the field with me to, it's fun to talk ball with him and get his perspective on things too, but he's a great one. Obviously I'm fortunate to have him across the street. I'm grateful to have him as a mentor and I want to get him around our program as much as I possibly can.
You're a couple of weeks away from opening the season against Charleston Southern. What do you want to see from your team outside of the obvious of taking care of the football, winning the game, all those things? What are you looking for in a game number one with, as you said, a mature team coming back this year?
I think it's what you said. It's limiting mistakes. You know, we want to be a smart team. Smart teams win. And so those self-imposed negatives, the pre-snap penalties, some of the sloppiness that you see in the first game, typically, especially in college, you know, I want a prepared team. Right now, as I said, to start, we're working on being a fresh team too. I need to get guys back healthy and to feeling good. But, I've been impressed with our focus. I got on the guys a little bit, kind of maybe about five or six practices in, where I felt like the energy level wasn't where we wanted it. But they've been very intentional through camp. And so I like where we are. It's just, you know, the element of the unknown, right? We don't play preseason games. So, inevitably, that's going to be our first opportunity to show kind of the progress we've made. And I think, you know, we'll deal with whatever comes from that. I mean, there will be adverse moments and ups and downs. I just want to see a team that can play a clean game, that can put pressure on the opponent and execute. And I think if you do those things in our game, you know, you're going to position yourself to win more times than not. But that is the challenge. You know, it's getting a group of 18 to now 24-year-olds to see the world the same way and to be on the same page when the ball snaps. And certainly that'll be our challenge in game one.
Coach, it's really good to see Eli Stowers, first team preseason All-American. I know there's been, you know, like Earl Bennett and a Chris Gaines and a Jamie Winborn and guys before earned that accolade, but a guy that plays under you is now first team preseason All-American. That's got to be really cool as a head coach to see your guy on that list.
It absolutely is. And Eli means so much to our program, means so much to me personally. Here's a guy who would have been a draft pick and a good draft pick a year ago and chose to come back. And, you know, that there's so much in that decision that represents advancement in our program. These guys enjoy being a part of this team. You know, they enjoy the camaraderie, the brotherhood we built. They see advancement every day. So that's a statement about, I know I can get better as a member in this program. I know that another year here is going to help me and improve my draft stock. And I think that's a vote of confidence for our systems and process and our people. The other thing is I love watching guys that have invested a lot be rewarded. Here's a guy who, you know, has not had a straightforward path in college, started as an elite quarterback recruit and found his way into the tight end room. And through multiple schools too. And yet, I mean, there's not a classier individual that I've been around in college sports. I mean, he is everything with respect to leadership, spiritual leadership in our locker room, steady process. And so to see his name up there where it belongs and to see him get the recognition is really special. And also a reminder too that, you know, when we, as we get this program where we want it to be, it doesn't matter. You don't have to, you know, be at the traditional blue blood programs to get the recognition. It's about going to a place where you're going to be developed, supported, grown, and featured. And when you do that, again, Vanderbilt football players, their names, our names will be amongst the top of the top, like the other programs we play against.
Coach Clark Lee is with us. Coach, appreciate the time as always. We're excited to see you guys on the field here in a couple weeks, and we'll definitely talk to you this season. But thanks so much for doing this, and good luck the rest of the way with practice.
Thanks, guys. I look forward to the next time. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. Clark Lee joining us here on the program as Vandy gets ready to start their season here in just a couple of weeks against Charleston Southern. And, of course, 102.5 The Game is your home for Vanderbilt Athletics. We'll have coverage of that game on Saturday, August 30th, starting at 4:30 here on 102.5 The Game.
I can't wait. I mean, I cannot wait. That's going to be a fun day, and it all starts.
I think they're going to have a good team this year. I really do. I mean, they had a good team last year. We saw how it ended. But, yeah. Like, I for the first time in my life, actually feel like, hey, they're going to build off that. They're going to go into this year. You know, maybe 7 or 8 wins is the ceiling.
It's still a ball game.
But that would be really good for them.
That schedule is just brutal. But you know what? If I'm a player at Vanderbilt, I'm loving this.
But if you're 3-1 in your first 4 games, like – all day long, right?
Who's that fourth game? Georgia State?
Georgia State. Yeah. So Charleston Southern at Virginia Tech, at South Carolina, Georgia State.
Shock the world, man. As I always say, shock the world. But, yeah, if you're 3-1 sitting there, and then if you could head
– and then Utah State before you go to Alabama.
So. Yeah. I mean, if you could head to Knoxville sitting there like at 7-4.
Yeah, without the pressure of needing the win to get
to a bowl
game. Without
the pressure. And their new quarterback up there, who knows what's going to happen. Woo!
I have thoughts on that. By the way,
okay,
we can talk about that coming up next here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. 102.5 The Game.